Good morning. St. Luke begins today's gospel with a saying that Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus set his eyes on his mission, and his face was turned toward Jerusalem. Now, what was he supposed to be doing in Jerusalem? Why was he determined to go to Jerusalem? That was his mission. The primary mission to come to this world was to accomplish the Paschal mystery. That is, the passion, the suffering, death, and resurrection, which he is to accomplish in Jerusalem. So that was his route. In other words, Jesus was set out on a journey, and his journey would end up in Calvary, in Jerusalem, on Mount Calvary, where he will finally give up his life. Last Sunday's gospel, Jesus had already predicted about his impending death. He revealed that to his chosen disciples. The Son of Man is to suffer in the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and they will crucify him. They will kill him on the cross, but on the third day, he will rise again. And so he is ready for his mission. No one is going to stop him from his mission. He was determined. But for his journey to continue, he had to pass through Samaria, a Samaritan village which comes in between Judea and Jerusalem. So he has to pass through that, a kind of shortcut. And Jesus sends his emissaries. You know, James and John, they were in the inner circle of the disciples. Jesus sent them ahead and find out how they will welcome us. You should know the history that Samaritans and Jews were not in good terms. They were enemies. Because of their religious differences in their religious beliefs and practices of the tradition, the Samaritans were considered as outcasts by the Jews, and they had nothing to do with them. And here comes Jesus and his disciples, who are Jews, coming into their territory. So the Samaritan village did not welcome them. And so James and John, as usual, they are sons of thunder, you know. They are people of impulse and quick temper. Okay, how can you deny my master from entering the village? So they asked permission from Jesus. Can we bring down fire from heaven and destroy this entire village because they rejected us? Because they won't allow us to pass through? Oh, Jesus said, come on, cool down, my friends. Don't be in a hurry, no? Don't react like that. We are supposed to be facing a lot of rejections. Don't worry about that. There is alternative for everything. Let's take a deroute. Let's detour. No? In other words, Jesus was not for confrontation. He was not for taking revenge or retaliation or destroying our enemies just because they oppose us, they reject us. Yes, it's a very bad feeling being rejected by others. Have you had any experience of being rejected by others? I suppose we all have our own experiences of being rejected. I had mine too, especially in my priestly ministry. Just as I was beginning my ordained ministry as a priest, as a new priest in India, I was appointed in a remote village, which is mostly Hindus. Christians are only a minority in India, you know that. So I was appointed in a remote village called Kolar in the state of Karnataka in South India, where there are hardly any Christians. So one day, myself and two other seminarians who are being formed to become priests, and along with two catechists, we went to this remote village to conduct a Bible study. One evening we gathered together all the Catholic Christians around that area. And you know how many Catholics there were? Six families. Just six families. That's all what they were, you know, what we had there. So we gathered them together in a common place where people gather together in the evening. Yeah, it's like a public park. But don't think of a big, huge park like Lilburn Park. No, it's nothing like Lilburn Park, okay? Or any other parks you find here. No, there's some grass there and there is a podium where you can stand and speak. So we gathered together these six families and we were just explaining the scripture and talking to them and having a sharing, Bible sharing session. Immediately, a group of village people who are Hindus approached us. Some of them had some clubs and sticks in their hand. They approached us and said, "What are you doing here? You are not supposed to be here. You cannot preach Bible here. This is a Hindu area. You better leave. Otherwise, we are going to stop you from what you are doing." Uh-oh. We sensed trouble. We sensed danger. And so I told the group, "Let's pack up and leave." We told them, "We are not here to convert anybody. We are just talking to our brothers, sisters who are Catholic Christians. We are just explaining the scripture to them. We are just having a Bible study." "Oh, but you can't do this here. You have to leave immediately." Okay, we left the place. So it was quiet. We didn't go for any confrontation. But after 2 months, we decided to have a medical mission there in the same area, in the place where we were. We arranged a number of volunteer doctors, nurses, together with us, me and other seminarians. We went back to the same village. And then we announced to the people there in the neighborhood that we are having a free medical camp. Please bring your children and adults who need medical attention. And you know, within minutes, we had hundreds of people there. They brought in their children, their elderly, all the people who needed medical attention. And that night was a beautiful night. And who were all these people? Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, all other religious dominations, all other kinds of religious people, including the six Catholic Christian families. They were there too, you know. But we served that night hundreds of people there. We provided free medicines, free medical checkup, examinations, and they were all so happy. Surprisingly, those people who were there the first time we went, who asked us to leave the place, they were there too for the medical camp. And once we concluded the session that night, they approached us and said, "Sorry. We didn't know what kind of people you were. We are sorry. And you are welcome to come back," they said. You see? And I tell you, today we have a school in that place, in that village, run by the missionaries of St. Francis de Sales. We put up a school for the poor children there. And they are being educated. It has risen to the high school level now. How grateful they are today. We just told them that we are not here to convert you. We are here to share the love of Jesus Christ through our service. And so they embraced us. They loved us. Remember, Jesus went to a Samaritan village, another place. A woman of Samaria met, you know, at the Jacob's well. You read that in John's Gospel, chapter 4. That encounter led to a conversion of not only one individual, not only that Samaritan woman at the well, but she went back and told the rest of the people in the village, and they all came to believe in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to this world to build bridges, to bring together the people of God. He came not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. That was his mission. And now he is traveling. He took a detour and going to Jerusalem. There on the way, he meets people who were amazed at seeing what Jesus was doing. They loved Jesus so much so they wanted to follow him. And so one man said, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to go wherever you go." And Jesus challenged him. He said, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you ready to follow me now? And then he had a second thought. Oh, this is not the kind of life I thought from following Jesus. So the evangelist does not say whether he followed him or not. Perhaps he needed time to think again. And the second one, Jesus said, follow me. And then what did he say? Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And what was the response of Jesus? Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now come on, wait a minute. That man's father was not dead at that time. Remember that? If he were dead at that time, then Jesus would say, okay, finish the burial first and then come follow me. No? His father was well and in strong good health. Maybe his father would live for many more years to come. So this young man had a plan to follow Jesus, but that would take many more years. He's waiting for his father to die. Then he can bury him and then he will follow. Jesus said, I have no time to wait that long. You better hurry up and follow me. If you want, really follow me. Don't postpone it. And the third one, no, he said, I will follow you. Let me go say goodbye to my family first. Jesus said, whoever puts his hand on the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, when it comes to Christian discipleship, we have so many excuses sometimes, no? I will do that later. Let me postpone it for a couple of years more. Now I am not ready. But that's not how God wants us to be disciples. Look at what prophet Elijah did to Elisha in today's first reading from the book of 1 Kings. God chose Elisha to succeed prophet Elijah. So he sends Elijah, go and announce this news to Elisha. He went. Where was Elisha? He was in the farm, plowing the field with 12 pairs of oxen. Okay, that means he was a rich farmer, Elisha. He was not a poor man. But God called him to be a prophet. Elijah went and took his outer mantle and put it on him. The mantle represents the selection, the choice that God made. You are the next prophet. Because Elijah is old and he is about to go. So he needed a successor. Elisha was surprised. Oh my God, the mantle is on me, which means I am the next prophet. But I am not ready. Let me go and kiss my mom and dad goodbye. Which means he wanted to go back and he needed time to be with his family, in other words. And what did Elijah say? Go back and decide. It's you are either in or out. There is nothing in between. With God, there is no compromise. There is no bargaining. Once you are chosen, either you say yes or no. You are out. That's how God calls us. The commitment. He calls us to a commitment. Elisha recognized that, and what did he do? He went, he stopped the plowing, took all the pairs of oxen and killed them and had a meal for everybody there and destroyed the plowing equipment, which means he cut away from his previous way of life completely and followed Prophet Elijah. That is discipleship. That is the call, and that calls for commitment. Total turnaround. Turn away from your previous life and dedicate yourself to the service for which you are called. Our Christian discipleship demands the same. When we are called by the Lord, no matter what way of life we are called to be a family life, to be a husband, a wife, or a religious like me, or a priest, or a lay missionary, no matter to what way of life we are called, it calls for total commitment. And service, which requires making sacrifice of our time, of our talents, the gifts that God has given us, and sharing of our treasures at the service of others. Our St. John Newman Parish community is so generous. in being showing that commitment as disciples of Christ. That is what gives me so much joy in working, in serving here in this parish. We see so many generous discipleship, so many generous people who are willing to come out and share their time, talent, and treasure at the service of others. That is a commitment. A couple of weeks ago, we had the parish picnic. And you know, the number of volunteers that helped in putting together everything and running that parish picnic, it needed a lot of people's help. You all did that. Thank you for that. We had just finished our vacation Bible school this last week, from Monday to Friday. How many volunteers, adults, teenagers, middle schoolers, voluntarily gave their time and talent to make that possible? We had the family promise. We put up so many families who are homeless people. In our preschool down there, they changed the classroom into bedrooms and dining halls for 1 week. Those families felt comforted and welcomed in our campus because of the volunteers who were ready and committed in their task. St. Vincent de Paul Society, the food pantry, week after week, we are serving so many, hundreds of families with food, free supply of food. These are all done by volunteers of our parish community. Prison ministry, garden ministry. Just think of all the ministries that we have in this parish. They are all run by volunteers. In other words, you are proving or revealing yourself through what you do, that you are really a true disciple of Christ. This is the call for us today from Jesus, to live our vocation through reaching out those in need. This is what Jesus demands from us, total discipleship, a total commitment. Let us be true, authentic Christians by standing up for the values of the kingdom of God taught by Jesus Christ, and share that values through our love and service. Amen.